Right.
And I was having one of them days last Sunday, and I preached. Didn't think it went nowhere. Found out in the evening service that two kids off our
way. Amen, brother.
Yeah. I just Amen.
Thank the Lord that he put me in his work.
Thank God, brother.
Thank the Lord for this church and my home. And that song says, you know, it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
It is the best thing.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. What a blessing. Well, I tell you, we better thank God that he loves us. Just imagine where your life would be this morning if God did not love you. I can promise you this, your marriage would not be working. Your children would not be doing right. Because of the love of God, we are where we are. Because of the love of God, we are what we are. Amen. Because of the love of God, we have the peace of God in our heart. So we ought to just praise Him to the end that He loves us. Amen. I'm glad He loves me. I was thankful yesterday that my wife, she made a little card and stood it on the vanity in the bathroom, and I saw that, and I just stopped for a minute and thanked the Lord that my wife loves me. And I thought, you know, she loves me, but not like he does. My mama loves me, but not like he does. Amen. This morning, I want to preach on this thought for a few minutes. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. I learned to sing that song as a little boy. How many of you did? Yeah. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank God I learned that as a kid, but I didn't realize it till I was 19 years old. I'd sang about it. I'd been taught about it in Sunday school. I'd been in church all my life, but I never realized the love of God till I was 19. Stay with me just for a minute. You can be turning to John chapter number 3. I had experienced the love of God, but I'd never realized it. What I didn't understand when I was a teenager, sneaking in catfish ponds in the middle of the night, and hearing bullets whiz by my head, what I didn't realize was that was the love of God. When I was a teenager and totaled every vehicle my mother ever owned, I don't know for sure if we could put them all in this room. I piled them up like cordwood. Oh, yes. What I didn't realize was what I was experiencing was the love of God. But on that New Year's Eve as a 19-year-old boy, when I fell on the ground under a pine tree in Jay Bice's front yard and asked Christ to forgive me of my sin, for the first time in my life, I realized God's love. Amen. For the first time in my life, I felt God's love. Amen? Some of you ought to just go back there every now and then and remember the first time you ever truly realized, hey, God loves me. God really loves me. Oh, yes. I remember Dexter Steffi, an old biker, hippie type, laying on his deathbed. He actually lived several years after that, but they were expecting him to die. And I'll never forget the question he asked me. He said, "Preacher man, could God love me?" I said, "Dexter, it's not the question if God could love you." I said, "Dexter, God does love you." He said, "But I'm a wicked man." I said, "That's who he died for. That's who he came for, was sinners." Amen. And you ought to be glad this morning that God loves old sinners. Amen. Sister Janice and them used to sing that song, "I am so glad God saves old sinners." Amen. John chapter 3. Probably the most famous verse of Scripture in the Bible. I've been preaching, I don't know how long now, somewhere around 20 years. And I think I've preached from John 3:16 three times. And this week, as I thought about today and Valentine's Day actually falling on Sunday, I prayed and I said, Lord, if you'd let me preach on your love, I'd like to do that. And I felt like the Spirit of the Lord said, you can preach on my love anytime you want to. He said, you know that, and it just felt like the Lord just speaking to my heart, and he said, you know, that's your job. Your job is to tell the world that I love them. Your job used to when my wife and I were boyfriend and girlfriend. She was in, I was a grade ahead of her, and she was in junior high, and I was in high school. And we rode different buses, and we couldn't see each other. But there was a boy in my class. His name was Jerry Brown. I don't know, Stacy probably remember Jerry Brown. He was in my class. And every day in that class, I'd write notes, and I'd send them by him. And a sorry rascal would read them before he got them to her. But I'd send them notes by him, and when he'd leave school, he'd transfer to a bus that she was on. He'd give her that note for me. And that note would always say, I love you. And then while she was on the bus, she'd write me a note, and she'd give it to him. And she'd say, give that to Eddie in the morning. And he'd bring that note. That's what I'm doing this morning as your preacher. God left you a note. Woo! God left you a love letter. And he said, I want you to deliver that to my children. Amen. I want you to deliver that to lost sinners who need to know that I love them. John 3:16. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you glad about that?
Yes.
John 3:16. I wish I could quote it. I remember we did it, I think, in a play at White Oak Springs when I was a kid. But there used to be a song, and the name of the song was John 3:16. And the song was a story. It was a, what do you call that when you talk in a song? A recitation, I believe it's called. And there was a recitation in that song, and it was about a little homeless child, a little homeless boy. And he wandered up to this police officer standing in the street, and he explained to the police officer that he was cold and that he was wet and he was hungry. He told the little boy to go down the street to a certain house and knock on the door. And he said, when the lady comes to the door, you just say, John 3:16. And the little boy said, why should I do it? He said, just do what I said. The little boy goes down the street, knocks on the door. The door opens and a kind old lady is standing there, and the little cold, wet, hungry boy said, John 3:16. She brought him in and she took him up and ran a hot bath and put him down in that hot tub and got him all clean. And as he was standing there with towel and off, he said, you know, he said, I don't know what it means, that John 3:16, but it sure does make a dirty little boy clean. Amen. Yeah. She took him downstairs and set him at the table and fed him a beautiful meal. He said, I don't know what it means, this John 3:16, but it sure makes a hungry boy full. Amen. I still can't grasp altogether the meaning of John 3:16, but I'm sure glad it'll make a lost little boy saved. Amen. Thank God for John 3:16. Hey, it's still in the book. Amen. Thank God. Yesterday, or today, is Valentine's Day. And on Valentine's Day, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. When they sent for Isaac's bride, and when they got to her, they gave her tokens. You remember that? They gave her bracelets to put on and things from him. They were gifts to let him know that there was something good waiting down the road. Amen. And every year on Valentine's Day, we give gifts or cards or diamonds or whatever the case may be. We give something as a token of our love to somebody that we love. I thought about this weekend and over the past week, how many millions of dollars, I wish I knew, how many millions of dollars has been spent on this holiday, on chocolate candy. This is probably the chocolate company's best time of year. Amen. How much money have been spent on candy? Every commercial on TV has been some kind of jewelry commercial. Every kiss begins with K and all that good stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
Wonder how much money. Of course, probably wasn't much spent around here on diamonds. Amen? I know I'm preaching to poor folk. Amen. I bet. I wonder how many hundreds of thousands of dollars Hallmark made over the last few days. I wonder how many teddy bears have been bought and sold. Millions have been spent. People were willing to give up something to show somebody how much they love them.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that 2,000 years ago God gave a token of His love. It was the most expensive gift ever purchased. He gave us His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. Man, what a gift this morning. What a token of love.
Amen.
Last night as we sat at the Valentine banquet, we had I don't know who thought that up, but it was a great idea. We had little boxes on our table, and it looked like a little, kind of like a little mailbox, kind of. And we had a little pad of paper, and what we were supposed to do was take our little pad of paper and write a little note to another couple who have been an inspiration to us. Amen? And we would write on that paper and go stick it in somebody else's box. And we got some of the sweetest notes last night. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. You blessed our hearts. But I went and put some notes in other people's box, like Brother Freddie and Brother Charles and different ones that have just been mentors and been friends and been a help to me. I love Brother Freddie. And I love Brother Charles. And I thank God. They are a gift from God to me. There's no doubt about that. Brother Charles, I love and respect that man more than any man on face this earth. But I would not give him my son. I might would give him yours. I'm just being honest. But I wouldn't give him my son. Wow, that's my son. And you know what he is? He's my only begotten son. I don't have another one. That's my boy right there. And I love Brother Charles, but if it came down between whether it was Brother Charles or Levi, it's Brother Charles. Amen. Are y'all listening? But God's love went beyond even that. And God gave us His only begotten Son. Man, you talk about love. You ain't never known love like that. You never will know love like that.
Amen.
Never will outside the love of God. Amen. We better be glad this morning that He loves us. As a token of God's love, He gave us His Son. I want to give you some scriptures this morning about God's love. In John chapter number 13 and verse number 1, we see that God's love is absolutely unchangeable. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. Now watch this. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end.
Amen.
How about that now? His love is unchangeable. Have you ever noticed that crowd out in Hollywood? They change wives more than I change socks.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
There ain't no way. The only way I keep up with is I read that junk. You can't help it standing in the line at the grocery store or Walmart. And you'll look over there and you'll say, oh, old J-Lo, I thought she was married to so-and-so. I mean, you know, you can't keep up with that mess. Man, their hearts is in an emotional wreck. You know why? They don't know this love. They have no idea about this love. They don't know how to love.
Amen.
Their relationships are more about publicity than it is anything else. Amen. They don't know this love. Their love changes from day to day. But God's love never changes. God's love never changes. I mean, you think about that. God loves me the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God will never, ever, ever say, I used to love Him. His love is unchanging. Now, He may get angry. He may need to punish. He may need to chastise, but He won't ever stop loving me.
Amen.
I've took a board made out of 3/4-inch plywood and beat the hide off of His rear end. But I ain't never stopped loving him.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the hardest things I ever done was whip my kids. You say, well, I don't have a problem with it. Something's wrong with you. There's not a father who really loves his children who enjoys inflicting pain. And I said pain. When you get a whipping, it ought to hurt. Amen. I was whipping one of them. I can't remember one time. They said, oh, Daddy, that hurts. I said, it's supposed to. Amen. But I never stopped loving him. Wonder how much it hurt God. When he had to allow his son to be hurt for us. I'm telling you, his love is unchangeable. I thought about this morning, sitting in my office. I wonder if while Jesus was dragging that cross up the Via Dolorosa, that road to Golgotha, I wonder if God thought maybe this is more than I imagine. Maybe this is just too much. But God looked at him and God looked at you. And said, go ahead, son, take her all the way. Because I love the world. Whoo! You'll be glad about that.
Amen.
You can't make me believe. Ain't a scholar in this world could convince me that as he carried that cross up to Calvary, God didn't have me on his mind. There's no way you can convince me of that. Jesus died and suffered and bled for me because his love is unchangeable.
Amen.
Amen. There have been days in my Christian life since I accepted him. I know he wasn't happy with me. There's never been a day where I felt that God didn't love me.
Amen.
Never been a day as I wore my son's backside out and I spanked my daughters when they were growing up. I guarantee you they never doubted that I loved them.
Amen.
Don't ever doubt that he loves you. His love is unchangeable.
Amen.
It's unchangeable. Thank God. And in John chapter 15 and verse number 9, the Bible said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. His love is not only unchangeable, but his love is divine. It's not a love like the world gives. It's a godly love. It's a love that only a Christian can know. Do you understand that?
Amen.
It's a godly love. It's not a fleshly love. It's a spiritual love. Amen. I'm glad he loved me with a godly love. You know what? The Bible said we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Yes.
You remember how when you got saved, you loved people that you used to hate?
Amen.
You loved people that were absolutely unlovable? You love people that got on your nerve and drove you crazy? Come on, talk to me now. Why? You know why? Because you got that divine love in your heart. Amen. When you got saved, God put that love inside you. And if it's not there, you're probably not saved. Amen. We all right this morning? Now listen, God's love and this world's love is two different things. People fall in and out of love like they... I don't know, it's like trading in, getting new cars. That ain't nothing but a fleshly love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A little boy told me in our Christian school one day, got in trouble about something with a girl, and he said, oh, Brother Eddie, I love her. I said, no, you don't. You lusting after her.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, no, you don't understand. I said, yeah, I understand. I've been watching how you're acting. Y'all smile, you'll be all right. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what if she weighed 350 pounds? He said, now that's a different story. I said, no, you don't love her. I said, if you loved her, it wouldn't matter if she weighed 650 pounds. Wouldn't matter if he's an elephant, would it, Miss Stacy? Amen.
Amen.
If you love somebody, I ain't never letting that go. If you love somebody with a true godly love, nothing else matters. I watched David Hofford love his wife when she had no hair on her head. I watched him love her when she was so sick going through chemotherapy. There's no way she could even attempt to do what a wife ought to do. Amen. You know what that is? That's the love God put in his heart the day God joined them together. Hey, we better thank God that we have a godly love. Listen, that's why, and I may get hung up right here, but that's why a saved person ought not never marry somebody who's lost. You get involved in a relationship with the opposite sex, your first question ought to be, not how much money do you make. Your first question ought to be, is are you saved? Are you a child of God? You see, the problem with those relationships, and I've seen them over and over and over and over as a pastor, where one is saved and one's lost, there is a conflicting love there. There is a love of God in the heart of the Christian that the lost spouse cannot comprehend nor understand. Amen. You know the reason a lost man gives his wife so much trouble for coming to church all the time? He don't know the love of God. It's this simple. He doesn't understand it. In his mind, why would anybody do like y'all do? Why would anybody go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday? That's the craziest thing I've heard. To him, it is. He's being honest. I thought the same thing till I got saved. I thought the very same thing. Mama made me go. But I wasn't there because I wanted to be half the time. I was kind of like them CEO church members. Christmas, Easter, and other holidays. That would have suited me fine. Amen? I didn't understand why they were there. I didn't understand what all those people were shouting and clapping their hands and hollering and praising the Lord about. I didn't understand why all those tears were running down their face till that night God put His love inside my heart. I said, yes, aha, now I see, now I get it. Hey, I can't wait till church time. Amen. He put that godly love in my heart. It made me want to give. It made me want to be a part of His work. Amen. I said His love is unchangeable and His love is a divine love. There's probably somebody here this morning who has never experienced that divine love. Before we leave today, I want to invite you to come right here in this altar and let God love you. Have you ever seen a situation maybe you've experienced in your marriage where one spouse or the other had some walls built up and you wanted to love them so bad but they would only let you so far? Are you listening to me? Some of us need to pull down some walls this morning and let God love us. We need to remove everything else out of the way and allow God to love us. I promise you, you'll never experience nothing like that in your life. Right. Never. Amen. Amen? It's a divine love. John chapter number 15 and verse number 13. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. His love is an unchangeable love. His love is a divine love, but His love is also a self-sacrificing love. What did Jesus give for us? Himself. Himself. This is so simple, it's going through some of your heads and you're yawning like you're sleepy. I wonder if you're saved. Man, I'm talking about Christ dying for you. I'm talking about Him shedding His blood all because He loves you. You tell me one other reason why He died. You tell me one other reason why He allowed Him to beat a crown of thorns on His head, strip Him naked, hang Him before the world to see. You better listen to me this morning. It ain't because of your good looks. It's not because of your smarts. It's not because of your great abilities. It's not because of your power. It's not because of your strength. It's simply because He loves you. Amen. No other reason can you come up with. Why did Jesus die for me? He loved me. He died for me because there was something He needed me to do. No, He didn't. If God chose to, He could get whatever He needed done without any of us. I thank God that He chooses to use us. But the simple fact is, He had a self-sacrificing love, and He loved us so much, and He knew that the only thing between us and hellfire and damnation for eternity was His own blood.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So He gave it. And we ought to thank the Lord this morning that He gave it. It's a self-sacrificing love. I love Romans 8, chapter 35. Turn over there right quick. We'll look at two verses. Romans chapter 8. It's an inseparable love. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. The Bible said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Jump down to verse number 38. Paul said, "What in the world was that?" Paul said, "Man, that thing is fried. Batteries." Paul said in verse number 38, he said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." When he's talking about these powers and principalities, he's talking about even evil spirits. He said in verse 39, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank God His love is inseparable. In other words, if He loves you now, He'll love you then. Amen. Did you know when you're going through marital difficulties, He still loves you? Did you know when you ain't doing right, He still loves you? Do you know when you're in a bad mood, He still loves you? Amen. He loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm happy. He loves me when I'm frowned. Amen. He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. He loves me when I'm joyful. He loves me when I'm sad. Hallelujah. He loves me. He loves me when I'm right. But He loves me when I'm wrong. He loves me when I'm weak. But thank God He loves me when I'm strong. Thank God He loves me. His love is inseparable. There's nothing I could do to cause Christ to stop loving me. Could I show you a picture of how God loves us? Go to any prison on any visitation day and watch a little mother stare through the thick glass at a rapist or a murderer, a child abuser, a thief. And watch her, she puts her hand to that glass, up to the hand of her wayward son. And watch the tears run down her face. God loves us, no matter what. He said, "Preacher, you don't realize what I've done." No, you don't realize what He's done. You've heard us preach about it. You've heard us talk about it. You've heard us sing about it. But you've never come to fully realize what He done. If you could realize what He did, because He loved you so much, if you could realize what He did, you would see that that would far outweigh anything you could ever think, say, or do.
His love is bigger than your sin. His love is bigger than your wicked thoughts. His love is bigger than your evil doings. I don't care what you've done or where you've been. Love, I said love covers all sin. Amen. His love is unchangeable. His love is divine. His love is self-sacrificing. And his love is inseparable. His love is constraining, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. His love constraineth us. What's that mean? It draws us, man. It draws us. Why do you do what you do? Because he loves me. No other reason, man. Because he loves me. I woke up this morning with I've had these sinus trouble for the last few days, and I don't know, somehow it's got, I don't know how it gets from your nose to your ear. That don't make good sense, does it? I woke up with an earache this morning. I hate an earache and a toothache, don't you? I could have called Brother Freddie or Brother Charles, said, handle it, boy, my ear hurts. And I got to thinking, boy, he loves me. He loves me. I think about that day that he carried that cross. I think about that day that they strapped him to a big old rock, stripped his clothes from his back, and began to beat him with that cat of nine tails. I bet that hurt. As they ripped the flesh from his back. Now all he could think was, I love them. I love Eddie White. I love Jason Bias. Stacy Bullock's all right. No, he said, I love Stacy Bullock. I love the world. Amen. Somebody said, how much did Jesus love you? They said he stretched out his arms and said, this much. Amen. That's what makes us get up and run buses on cold mornings. We didn't this morning because it was so cold and the roads are, got ice. My road's still bad. That's what makes us do it. Some of our bus workers on a normal Sunday, they don't get back to the church till 3 or 4 o'clock. And then they're back here again at 6. You think they do that for me? No. They do that because Jesus loves them. And they want to love him back. Amen. His love constrains us. His love in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. I've got a whole outline here that I ain't going to get to. I'm just reading you some scriptures. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. The Bible tells me that his love is sacrificial. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. His love is sacrificial. When you really love somebody, you'll sacrifice for them. I remember as a child, sitting in the pew at White Oak Springs, and there was some kind of tennis shoes. I believe they were Converse. I can't remember. Some kind of tennis shoes I just had to have. And my mother was a single mother, and she worked two jobs, keep a roof over mine and my little sister's head. And I begged for them shoes and begged for them shoes. She bought me them tennis shoes. And I remember watching her get up one night and go to the altar at church, and when she knelt, Brother Jason, her foot was like that. And I looked, and there was cardboard sticking out of the bottom of her shoe. It was wintertime. She had a hole in the bottom of her shoe that big around. But I had a brand new pair on my feet. The ones I had didn't have holes in the bottom. But she did without, so I could have something. And that's what Christ did at Calvary. He did without, so you could have something. Amen. He gave it all so you could have it all. He became what you are so you could become what he is. Woo! Hallelujah. He came where you are so you could go to where he is. Amen. His love is a sacrificial love. Amen. And you know what? It's still a sacrificial love today. We think about just Calvary, but he's still sacrificing for us. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. How about that? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He's our mediator. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man. It's Christ Jesus, friend. He's busy on your behalf. He's busy on my behalf. The Bible said the accuser of the brethren, that's the devil. He still likes to go before God and say, hey, what about old Cody's sin? What about old Robbie's sin? And as God looks, he says, I don't see nothing but the blood of my own son. Amen. Hallelujah. His love is unchangeable. His love is divine. It's self-sacrificing. His love is inseparable. His love is constraining. It's sacrificial. And then his love was ultimately manifested in his death. I can tell you I love you all day long. Those of you that's been around here for a while, you know I love you. You know why you know? Because we keep doing it. We stay faithful to you. Amen. We keep a coming and we keep a going. Amen. I'll ask my wife occasionally, do you know how much I love you? She'll shake her head. It's taken some time to prove that. Talk is cheap. Everybody that says the words, I love you, doesn't mean it. It's easy to say. I've had wives sit in my office crying with their husbands sitting there beside them and say, he never says, I love you. And he says, you know I love you. See, it needs to be a combination of both, showing and telling. Amen. God told us he loved us, but that wasn't enough. He showed us he loved us. Amen. Hey, you may be showing your wife you love her, but you need to tell her too. Or you may just be telling her, but you need to show her too. Amen. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 16, we see that his love was manifested or shown are proven by his death. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My goodness. John 3:16. I can't fully grasp it, but it sure makes a sinner boy saved. Makes a dirty boy clean. Makes a hungry boy full. I'm glad he loved me. And friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, he loves you. Outside the love of God, you probably wouldn't even be breathing his air. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Todd, y'all come if you would. While they're getting ready to sing, could we just bow our heads all over the house? Nobody looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. I told you a few moments ago that we'd give you an opportunity this morning to truly realize the love of God in your heart before you leave here today. This is that opportunity. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. I'm not sure that I'm really saved. And preacher, if you can be sure of that, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Listen, if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. I won't come to you. Wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. But I would like to pray for you. Say, preacher, I'm not sure about my soul, where I'll spend eternity. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? You can just slip it up and put it right back down. Just going to pray for you. God bless you, son. God bless your heart. Is there anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to know heaven's my home. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Well, let's just take some time. Let the Lord love us this morning. What about this morning? Preacher, I'm saved. I know I am. But I've let the love of God grow cold in my heart. Pray that I'd get things right with Him and get back where I ought to be. Anybody like that? Hands all over the building. Thank you for being so honest this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again in Jesus' name today, Lord, you've seen the hands and you know the hearts. Father, we beg you to deal with us accordingly. Don't let anybody leave here without knowing heaven will be their home. Don't let anybody leave here lost. Lord, don't let anybody walk out these doors without knowing in their heart the love of God. And Lord, I want to thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord, on this Valentine's Day, God, for giving me your heart. And Lord, thank you for that day when I gave you mine. Lord, I do love you. Have your way in this altar call. God, we'll thank you and we'll give you praise. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.